Welcome to the 404 Show. It's Friday, December 16th, 2016. Thank you so much, you lovely listener, for tuning into the show. Across the table from me, Steve Sphere Guttenberg. What's up? Yeah. As always, to my right, Russ Frustick.
Hi. Look at that. I like that trill pronunciation.
It you like it?
Yeah, it works for
Not
me.
Not many people can pull it off, but I can. Burrito.
Do you, do you do tongue exercises?
Sometimes. That's none of your damn business, actually. Man, so it's great to be back in the room with the two of you guys.
Oh, man.
I think we got a good thing going.
Yeah, sounds like a song. It's a groovy thing going?
Yo, man, we got a groovy thing going here, man.
It's a groovy kind of
Is it far out for you?
Far out.
Yeah?
You're man. Feeling,
man?
I gotta say man.
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 Hey, man.
So I did want to mention, obviously, Steve has, I'm looking at his Chicken insane, scratch. Like, seven quality, like those notebooks in seven. That's what it looks like. So before we get into that, I did want to mention something that I know he has zero interest in.
Of course.
But the audience may have some interest in it.
Oh.
So maybe we should talk about it.
All right.
And that's Star Wars.
Oh. Uh-huh. Oh,
right?
Wait. Are we getting a hot Rogue One first take here?
Yes.
Can I request that it be, even though I don't quite give any shits about this movie, spoiler-free
version. This will
version.
Be a spoiler-free version of the movie.
Review it in the voice of your shitty Michael Caine.
I can't do that.
Oh, come on.
He's not available right now.
He's unavailable?
Yeah. No, he's
How about
too busy.
Woody Allen? Can you do Woody Allen?
Definitely not. That might
I think
be
it's closer to your natural voice.
Yeah, right. No. So Star Wars Rogue One came out, I guess, last night, because I saw it at 7:30 last night in kind of a crappy theater in my neighborhood, whose audio levels are like not proper. You would have lost
Steve,
your mind.
You would have
The
protested.
Mix was like so bad.
How do they not know what
know.
They're doing?
I think it's broken.
They don't care.
I think speakers were either broken
they don't care.
Can you?
They don't care.
What about going into business consulting movie theaters on how to get the best possible sound, Steve? How have you thought about that?
I think I'd go broke.
Okay. Good business plan.
They don't want to spend any money. That's
yeah.
Right. Well, they're in a lot of trouble anyway.
They don't think the audience cares, really.
Yeah, they think the audience is just stupid.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Say it. I want to hear it out of your mouth.
Oh, just quick. I don't want to get in the way of your thing.
No, that's fine. Go for it.
Well, I had a friend who worked in a theater in Chicago, and they spent, this was in the early 80s, and they spent a lot of money improving their sound system. No one ever said, wow, it's better. They spent a lot of money trying to make something better. No one cared. Then one day, the sound system crept out. They had to revert to their older sound system. And then they complained like crazy.
All right.
So when you get better, they don't notice. When you get worse,
right, but you can't be like fishing for compliments. You got to just be like, oh, no one's complaining, so it's not worse. Right.
And I would also say, if the other people went to another theater, heard better sound, and then went to this theater, like I did.
It was like a neighborhood thing. They didn't
I just won't
theaters.
Go to this theater anymore.
Right.
Like, I've learned my... Anyway.
Okay.
Back to
I have
Star
another,
Wars.
And when we're done with that, we'll get... Preface. No. When we're done with your Rogue One, I want to talk about weird theater etiquette. Okay, go on.
Ooh. So Star Wars Rogue One. So it's a prequel to Episode 4, if you haven't heard. The storyline is essentially them trying to get the plans to the Death Star that sets off the events of Episode 4, also known as A New Hope, also known as the very first Star Wars movie.
All right, so correct me if I'm wrong. So that means like the resistance.
Yes, the rebellion. Yeah.
The rebellion.
Yeah.
So this is like the covert operation that they steal the blueprints of the Death Star.
Essentially. That's
so this kind of happens concurrently, like in the background
no,
of
no,
4?
No, because if you think about the beginning of A New Hope, New Hope starts with them having the plans. Leia has the plans. She sticks it into R2-D2's chest and sends them off to Tatooine.
Right.
So that they already had the plans at that point. So this is just before that has happened.
Are you on board with that, Steve? Do you understand?
He hasn't seen any of these.
You haven't seen Star Wars?
I saw the first one.
In 1977.
Did you see the first three?
Fresh. I did see the
Do you remember what happens in A New Hope?
I couldn't care.
Okay.
They do use the word hope about 16 times throughout this movie. They really hammer that connection home.
Okay.
Keep hope alive.
I think it's a good movie. I didn't like it as much as...
people are losing their goddamn minds over this movie. They're saying it's the best one they've ever made.
I'm sure people are saying that. I don't personally agree with that. I don't think it's as good as J.J. Abrams' movie. I realize that part of the reason that people might be excited about it is because it feels like a wholly... quote, fresh story, whereas Force Awakens felt like kind of a rehash of a
kind
New Hope.
Of
very much an homage to A New Hope.
You could say it, carbon freaking copy.
Okay, but what it also had was like J.J. Abrams, I think, is the best action adventure director we have right now in terms of like action excitement scenes,
okay,
and character building, like characters you actually really really like,
okay.
And Gareth Edwards, who directed this, directed Godzilla, which was a steaming pile of dog do.
So they're like, oh, can we get you to direct Star Wars? Let's see if you could ruin that.
Well, he made a bunch of money for Godzilla, whatever. I think he did an okay job with this, but I think, like, for example, the two main characters of this movie, the lead, who is Daisy Ridley, named Jyn Aso in the movie, yeah, and her compatriot, I forget the actor's name, are just like very flat characters. Okay, but okay, in the spirit, and I think Steve will appreciate this, yes, in the spirit of movies like Magnificent Seven and Dirty Dozen, okay, those sorts of older movies where it's really the cast around you, you know, the side characters that are more interesting and have like more fun moments. Mm-hmm. And that is where this movie is really strong. So okay, it has like a bunch of like, there's like a super like, force sensitive guy, and there's like a funny robot.
So they play with the Star Wars canon a little bit.
I don't think they play with the canon as much as they play. It feels like they took it like an old timey, like a Magnificent Seven or like a heist movie, and brought that into the Star Wars universe. Whereas before this, all Star Wars movies were sort of in the same genre and spirit. This right, kind of felt like, you know, let's try. In the way that Captain America, one of the Captain Americas felt like a 70s thriller, or at least they were trying to make it into a 70s thriller. Yeah. It was like them trying to tackle a new genre in Star Wars, which is interesting. And
it's
cool,
a new flavor.
And I thought it was mostly successful.
So you recommend it?
I would recommend it. Wow. With, I would say if you're a Star Wars fan, 100% go. You'll have fun. Enjoy it. I would say if you're not really a Star Wars fan, definitely do not rush out to see it. Yeah. It is not the best Star Wars movie. You'll be fine waiting.
It's going to be a rental
for
me.
And you can't, like, necessarily ruin too much of it because sure, you know where things go, obviously.
Right, right. We know what happens.
So.
Stuff blows up.
Stuff blows up. I'm sure Darth Vader is in it. Darth Vader's in it. You see that in the trailer.
Is he?
I think he is. I don't know.
I don't watch trailers.
I don't watch trailers.
Once I decide, I'm going to see a movie.
I'm above trailers?
It's not that. It's just
it's once I decide. It's the entire movie in 2 minutes.
I decide you're to right, see a movie,
right,
I
cut yourself
cut
off.
Cut myself off, and that's great because it, like, all of those scenes and all those characters that show up in those trailers, all I'm doing while I'm watching the movie is like, oh, that when's this guy going
to
show up?
You happen to be preaching to the choir in
totally,
that regard.
Totally. So the dumb voice was not
Felt like just felt like busting some balls. I take that a step further. I hate watching next time on Westworld.
Yeah, I don't watch that stuff either.
Stop that. I don't want to see any of that.
Well, wow, then you just stop.
Yeah,
stop.
I don't. Yeah, I don't do just it.
Stop. You know, I think this would be a perfect segue to my appearance on Night After Night.
Yeah, yeah. Hold that, because I want to talk about that, too, because we've only talked about that 7,000 times. But
We have?
Yeah, we've definitely talked about you being on that show. You don't remember that? Was that, like, all of your
Alzheimer's
rundown? No. Was that all Night After Night?
No.
Okay.
It could be. I can't really read it.
It honestly looks like
a
ransom note from a serial killer.
It looks like the Star Wars language basic that you sometimes see in Star Wars movies. There's like a signage.
Yeah.
Or Cyrillic. It could be Cyrillic.
Right. It is certainly not English.
It's Gutenberg.
It's sphere. It's spheric.
Or it's like spheric, that weird script it's that spheric, they use for Disney. Like that Disney script.
So strange.
We should talk about movie etiquette.
So real quick, I saw Arrival a couple weeks ago.
Like that movie a lot.
I did like it. It was very good.
Yeah.
Definitely recommend go checking it out. You would like it too.
I think
really
you would
good
like
sound
it,
design. Like okay, brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. And cinematography was really
just
good.
Just really a smart movie that did
so you don't
it right.
Feel like you're an idiot for watching.
Right. A lot of movies make me feel stupid. Yeah. This one made me feel like, okay, this I'm into it. I'm buying what you're selling.
You remember Ace Ventura When Nature Calls?
Yeah, of course.
Kinda
this
like
is the
that,
same sort of movie. Theater etiquette, and this is maybe not etiquette, more of just like, sir, don't do what you're doing.
Oh,
don't
God. My last chair. Night was a nightmare for theater etiquette for me.
I went to, I want to hear it, but I went to, because this will be on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
I went to like a 11:15 p.m. screening with my buddy Corey.
You have a baby, Jeffrey. What are you doing?
I meant, Stacy was home with him.
Was she?
Yeah.
How do you
I didn't
good?
Leave the kid home alone. Although it's fun to joke about, I need to make that very clear. Stacy was
making
home.
Making your hand gesture like Trump.
Don't. Oh,
you,
my
you
God.
Were doing, wasn't he? He was doing it.
Riding across the country.
He was. People, he was
you make like the okay. Rodney Dangerfield did this too. So yeah. Let's like, right. Come on. I'm that's who saying, I'm channeling.
He's infecting clearly you. You're not, infected.
How dare you?
Anyway.
Gina. Anyway. So, yeah. So I feel like there's certain things you don't do in the theater.
Yes.
Like.
Is sex not okay, right?
Fine with that.
It's still not okay?
You want to bang
okay?
It.
Depends on the film. Moana, that's fine.
So it's like an 11:15
thing. And by the way,
this,
I just want to point out to the listeners that when you do sex in a movie theater, you're supposed to be in like the back row up against the wall.
Yeah, of course.
So there's nobody behind you.
Yeah, right. No shit.
Why and you also you... have someone to brace against.
Yeah, why would you right. Do it in the
and
front row?
You do it
row?
In the really loud parts of the movie.
It's like, okay, there's the action scene now. Let's get it out.
Right.
That's weird, Steve. So
it's just reality.
I guess you're if there's a professional on this, it's you. So real late, yeah. Maybe, I don't know, before the preview started, maybe there's seven people in the theater. It's okay. The Hoboken Theater. And Corey and I are there, and it's late, and, you know, we were thinking, like, oh, this is going to be great. It's an empty theater. We're going to have the theater to ourselves. We're going to watch this awesome movie. Yeah. Great. So there's this one guy
okay.
who is in the theater, and he, like, still has his winter jacket on.
It's cold.
It's not that. It's cold outside, but not in the theater.
Okay.
So that didn't bother me. But then he like stood up.
In the middle of the movie?
No. This is all before. Okay. This is like during the previews.
So that's all okay.
Wait, did what? You think it was going to be like a Dark Knight? Like,
oh my God, no.
I just
Russ.
Didn't know where you were going.
Why do you got to do that?
I don't know.
Yes, that is bad etiquette to
so
do
far,
that.
So far, it's fine. Yes. So far, everything he's done is fine.
Right.
So far, I don't
know. Here's
have
where
a problem.
It gets weird. So okay. He stands up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he's got like all these grocery bags with him.
Oh,
okay.
A lot of noise.
And we're like, okay, this is the previews. I don't mind you doing that.
Sure.
But maybe don't do that during the movie.
Totally.
So he stands up.
Yeah.
And he's like looking around the theater.
Okay.
And he's like moving seats. And I'm like, all right, it's a completely empty theater.
Sure.
You're just going to go move seats.
Oh, and then all he has right. To bring his bags.
He's bringing all of his bags.
Still the previews.
Shit you not. 2 minutes go by. Gets up and wants to change his seat again.
Feeling that seat.
I'm just like, oh, I'm looking at Corey. I'm like, what's wrong with this guy? Okay. Why is he doing this? I don't want this to happen.
Sure.
He did it again.
He moved again.
So okay. This is the third time he's moved.
Sure.
And like, in between each time he moves, he settles in.
Yeah.
He took his jacket off. I was like, oh, he's digging his heels in.
Yeah.
He's not going to go anywhere. He's setting up shop.
How close is he to the, like, first of all, how close
seats,
is he?
How many seats in this theater, roughly?
I can't count seats like you can with your Rain
like
Man
rows,
ability
though.
To do
like,
that.
Are we talking like 50 rows?
There's probably like 20 rows. It's not a huge theater.
Oh, it's
theater.
A tiny
it's
theater.
A tiny
oh,
screen.
So you can't so,
like,
get far away from it.
He's like kind of like getting closer to us. And then the last seat he takes is like directly behind us.
Okay.
Fine. That's, it wasn't in front of us.
No, that's annoying though. And now I'm going to follow that up with the best pro tip. I don't want to jump on your story, but this is very important for people
but
listening.
I'll do it.
The best pro tip you can have for
fart
going to the movies
right
now
away. Fart right
is
away.
Sit in the very last row of
oh,
the movie theater.
Oh, sure.
100%.
Sure.
It puts you in the power position.
Right.
You can see everything that's going on. You can yell at people. They can't do anything because they don't know what's behind you. I always sit in the background.
And if you want to have some sex,
and if
it's
you want
the best
and there
place.
You go, you're prepped.
That's,
anyway.
I guess the sex is the icing on the cake.
So
It's the cream.
So
the
that cream wouldn't have happened for you, Jeff, if you had listened
son
to me.
Son of a bitch, Steve. What's that?
That wouldn't have happened for you guys if you were in the back row.
See?
Yeah,
say?
I guess. I think there was someone in the back row.
I mean, but it's a row. It's
I know.
Like-
I know. I'm making excuses. But so, yeah. So the guy's freaking us out, and I'm not happy about the whole situation.
Still previews,
and then, you know, we kind of just
can't
forgot
really
about
complain.
It. Yeah. I know, but, like, don't do all that. I understand maybe he's got certain issues that force him to change his mind repeatedly. Yeah. Okay, that's one way to describe it. I'm sensitive to that. I get it. Everyone's got their quirks. That's fine. But you were freaking myself, my friend, and the other four
do you think
people.
He was
like
aware?
The other four people in the theater, we were all making eyes
what
at
was,
each
he
other.
He was aware that you were annoying?
Maybe. Because, like, after the third time, we all kind of, like, stared him down. We're like, okay, Roger, where are you going to sit?
He was making eye contact with you guys?
He must have felt the seven sets of eyes peering him. I mean.
What would you say, I guess.
What?
Was your chief concern? Was your chief concern that this is going to happen throughout the entire movie?
Yeah.
And
it did.
You know, it didn't.
Well, it didn't.
Well, no, it didn't.
Okay. And that's why I personally, although
three times.
Personally, even though I agree that, like, it's annoying, I give people.
He was giving us an uneasy vibe to the point where, like, is this guy gonna, like, start, like, stabbing us?
That's what I was saying earlier, and you yelled at me mentioning the Dark Knight.
I know, but
I literally guessed what you were thinking.
Yeah,
in
but
your
like
brain.
It got to the point where like, oh, he's getting closer to us. This is upsetting.
Yeah, when I saw Force Awakens in my neighborhood at that same bad theater, the guy sitting next to me was like legit talking to himself, and I'm like, there are no other seats. This is happening. Like I'm like making conversation with him just in case something goes down. He'll be like, hey, this guy was a buddy to me. Hey, remember? Like, he's blowing away everyone except. Oh, wait. No, you and your wife.
He was nice.
You're cool.
You're good.
Yeah.
I don't have
F you.
I like,
you're cool.
I like that. That is so good.
That is dark as.
But that's what I'm saying, Jeff. So you, like, you had that thought in your head where, like, this guy's going to Looney Tunes.
This guy was. I was like, I hope he's not dangerous.
What's in those bags?
I hope he's not dangerous.
Yeah. Was there, like, bok choy in the bags?
No, I think it was just like CVS stuff.
Okay. He got snacks.
He got, I don't know.
I think everything you've described, although a little weird, is I would allow. I wouldn't say anything and I would allow.
I agree. But you weren't there suffering.
Sure, yeah. You weren't there suffering, but you could tell everyone else in the theater, although it was only seven people, everyone was uneasy about it. They were just like, what?
Sure.
This theater's not big, man. Like, you want to, he didn't do anything illegal.
Right.
He didn't do anything, but. Still weird.
We didn't know what was in the bag. There could be heads in the bag.
Could be. They were probably human feet. What's that?
Odors?
No.
No odors? Okay.
No, he was very like saliva-y too, though. Very like
noise. Yeah, we've been there.
That drives me crazy.
Anybody eating popcorn or anything?
No. Oh, Corey was my buddy.
Oh, that doesn't drive you crazy?
No, he's pretty silent.
I'm okay with popcorn. It's the crinkling plastic that drives me nuts.
Oh, I think popcorn.
Okay,
I
do want to mention your situation was fine, but I'm gonna.
You weren't there, man.
I'm gonna tell you.
You weren't in the state of mind I was in.
I'm very. Oh yeah. Well. Oh, so there you go.
oh. By the way, speaking of popcorn, note to everyone.
Yeah.
But don't get any topping.
Oh, I never get topping.
Thanks for the tip, Mr. Rooney. what is that? Yeah,
it's just let's just
disgusting.
Leave it at that.
I'm sure the popcorn is disgusting.
What's in that stuff is, you know.
Yeah, okay. It's just bad for business.
When you see it in its raw form,
oh, I'm
like
sure
I
it's awesome.
It looks like a life form.
I'm sure it's like hard at one point.
It's hard.
Yeah.
And got weird.
Oh, okay.
It's got things in it.
I never had topping. So,
and by the way,
popcorn's gross enough.
In a related story.
Yeah.
Hot dogs in movie theaters?
Yeah, what is wrong?
What about
people?
Hot dogs full stop?
that's a safe bet.
Hot
but
dogs.
No, hot dogs in movie theaters are special category.
Yeah, because they've been there since all the King's Men.
They've been there since Jurassic Park. Who the hell is buying a hot dog in a movie theater?
Well, apparently people
I have
do,
had those
they
moments
keep selling them.
Of like being so desperate for
and you
protein.
See them like turning around. They still have those things
and
turning
yeah.
around.
There's no the options. Like, yeah. What are you going to get?
You're going to get the pretzel bites with the nacho cheese.
Real food.
I need to step on a... I need to stand on my little placard, my soapbox.
Soapbox,
yeah.
For a
How
second.
About you do that
after a break?
After this break.
Okay. Oh.
It's the holiday season, and Vega Coffee has the deal for you. Vega Coffee delivers single origin coffees direct from farmers in Nicaragua to your doorstep. Each coffee delivery is carefully curated to bring you the most exquisite flavors from specialty micro lots. So, what makes Vega Coffee different, Russ Frushtick?
Yeah.
I'm about to tell you. Vega bypasses the usual middlemen in the coffee supply chain, which means Vega trains farmers to roast and package their own coffee at origin. So they directly sell it to you. The farmers earn more. Vega can charge less. Everyone has an awesome holiday season.
Let me ask you, are they using Arabica beans?
They certainly are, sir. Thank you for saying the word that I would likely have mispronounced.
I know you don't know how to say it.
You can get your loved ones a gift you know they'll enjoy this holiday season, because who the hell doesn't like to drink coffee when it's snowing outside? Vega's holiday gift boxes and gift subscriptions are available now, and for every purchase, Vega will plant a coffee tree, which means your gift is also a gift to coffee farmers as well. Listen up. Vega's offering an exclusive 30% off site-wide for a limited time to our listeners. You go to vegacoffee.com, enter the promo code THE404SHOWHOLIDAY, all one word. Do that at checkout, and you're going to get yourself 30% off. All right? That's how you take care of your shopping list this season. VegaCoffee.com. The promo code, one more time, THE404SHOWHOLIDAY, all one word. Do it. 30% off while this promo lasts.
All right, Russ, you've got the floor.
Okay, movie theater soapbox time. Right. And I'm sorry if this is taking up all our time.
No, this is fine.
Talk louder.
It matters to me. Right.
Soapbox. Stand up on that box.
I think people have gotten a little bit better about talking in movie theaters.
Right.
And I think people have gotten better about shushing people, especially on opening night, stuff like that. So that I'm all for that. What people have gotten far worse at, and I want to really drive a stake through anyone.
Oh, murder. Okay.
Murder. Yeah. Legit murder.
Sure.
Is looking at their cell phones during a movie.
Oh.
Who does that?
So everybody. I was at this is the very first screening of Star Wars Rogue One. So everyone in the audience is actually kind of has to be a fan. No one's seeing this on opening night if you don't care.
Yeah, but like I'm sure there are a few people peppered in the crowd who like got asked to go at the last minute. Kind of don't care.
I'm going to tell you a lot of the people were checking their phones all the time and people. The same. It wasn't like
With a lightsaber was checking their phone. No one with the lightsaber they brought to the movie theater.
There were people that were there alone that were checking their phones, that just
son of a bitch
does not look. I get it. If you whatever someone's like, you're worried about your wife is going to go into labor, and you get a text, and every hour
that seems worth
you
it.
Need to check like a tiny little bit. You need to just poke it
peak
like, peak. You got a buzz
lowest brightness.
You need to check it lowest brightness. And you hide it from other people, I'm fine with that. People were every 6 or 7 minutes check and would like swipe, 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 look,
well,
Tinder.
Russ, I think we've discovered the biggest disadvantage to sitting in the back
row. So I fully...
You will see every phone in every row.
And you're right. That is actually 100% true.
Deal breaker.
Every phone
sit in
every row.
Yes, sit in the front row. That's
like
the,
I do.
Yeah. Because you can't see? Is that? Oh, that's kind of sad. I'm sorry.
I told people that were nearby and were doing it like frequently. Yeah. I was like, dude, can you put your phone away?
Right.
And they didn't.
And they did take their phone away. You. I mean, it's mostly nerds, so whatever. What are they going to do to me? But I've also, I've had this. When I saw James Bond, what's the one where he
Spectre
sets up that? No, where he,
Skyfall.
Skyfall. Yeah. Where he does the Home Alone house traps. Remember he sets all the traps
at the end there?
Yeah.
That is true.
Right.
It's just like, anybody made that joke?
I think, yes, probably. But in that movie, I was sitting directly behind someone and like phone out for like 7 or 8 minutes at a time.
And guess what, man? It ain't fun going to the movie theater. No offense.
I don't do that anymore.
So
it ain't fun.
After 8 minutes goes by, I like lean forward and I was like,
let's do a little role play.
Okay, role play. So you're checking your phone.
Swiping. Oh, I can't believe she's wearing that on Instagram.
Okay. excuse me. Would you mind turning off your phone?
Literally. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's not what he said. What he turned around and said
I was someone. Okay.
Yeah. You did a poor job role playing because he turned around and said, "I will effing kill you."
Really?
What?
And then 5 minutes later, stood up and left. His girlfriend was still there sitting. He stood up and left, and I'm like, "I'm gonna get shot today."
He's going to get his killing device.
Yeah. That's the only time that's really happened with the cell phone situation because he said,
"I will effing kill you."
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
And he wasn't like kidding.
No, he was serious.
He had a serious voice.
I would have been like, "Oh, that's interesting." I'd be like, "Oh,
I guess
would you say that? Would you really say that?"
I would have been like, "I would have said this because I'm not the best behaved person." I would have been like, "Oh, murder. We're gonna do murder."
You would have just gone to like a Jerry
like
Seinfeld
a
Mulaney, voice.
Like a John Mulaney, like,
no,
murder!
I thought you were doing the little guy in Mini-Me. I thought you were doing Mini-Me.
Mini-Me, sure. Oh. Jeff's like, famous Mini-Me impression.
Yeah, that was Mini-Me.
He doesn't talk.
That's true.
Anyway, so that's really the only negative time I've had that happen. But if you are in the backseat, even though you do see everyone...
Were you like, sorry?
I was like totally cowed. I think it was because he felt like I emasculated him in front of his girlfriend. That would be my guess.
Get over yourself.
I know, totally. But because, you know, by being in the back seat, more often than not, people don't say anything when you call them out for stuff like that because they don't know who they're dealing with.
Right. They're right. Talking into
I
the darkness.
I should probably put on a tougher voice.
She'd be like, hey, what are you... Get off your phone.
Well, I've also yelled across the theater for people to turn off their phones.
Remind me never to go to the theater with Russ.
Wow.
And I'm worried. I feel bad because I feel like my wife maybe was not nearly as anal about movie theaters as I was.
I understand.
And she's like adopted a lot of that rule set for myself as well.
So
she'll yell at people too.
Here's the deal, right?
She's also throwing
I'm nice
people.
Enough where she's also what?
Throwing food.
Yeah, I heard about that story.
She's throwing food.
I'll give everybody one chance to correct it.
Like after you say something?
So generous. No.
Like if you take the phone out
and then you
put it back.
Sure.
Unless that one instance goes on for a while.
Right.
You put it back, you take it out again, then I'm saying something.
Totally.
Then
you say something. Totally agree.
Right? Like, okay, okay.
Yes.
Nope. Look, I let you have one. Everyone gets one. But you, sir or ma'am, are now on a new level of assholeness.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So put it away or I'm shattering it in front of you.
Okay, so I guess since we're talking about this, Steve, have you ever had seen fights break out in the middle of theaters?
Oh, yes.
Over this stuff?
During a movie.
I've seen people killed in movie theaters.
What?
Stabbed in movie theaters. Yeah.
Steve.
Stabbed
Steve.
And killed?
Steve.
Well, have you never talked about this?
No, he's never mentioned any of this. You're going to tell us stories you've told us 4,000 times. You're not going to tell us the story about someone dying in your theater? What
yes.
the F?
There'd be bodies in when I worked on 40 Seconds.
Bodies.
Yeah, well, body. One at a time.
But, I know, but like, okay, so what's the body count? How many?
I don't know. I
lost
probably
track.
Worked there maybe 6 weeks, and I think there were at least three.
No way.
Wait, yeah. People just croaking or
getting killed,
murdered, overdosing, you know.
Oh, shit.
So,
this is an untold story.
Wait, 6 bodies and 3? I mean, you're talking like dozens of bodies
like
a year.
Dexter.
Well, it was a particularly active period.
Which theater was this?
It was the Lyric on 42nd Street.
42nd and what?
Well, between 7th and 8th.
Isn't that like a frou-frou?
Yeah,
Times Square. Oh, no, the Times Square one. I thought that was a frou-frou art theater.
No. So anyway, the thing about this theater was that it was a converted opera house. So the projection booth was in the top balcony.
Okay.
And that balcony was theoretically closed to the public, although it wasn't, right?
Okay. That was
and
the secret.
So the projection room is a sheet metal box in the middle of the top balcony.
Okay.
And I would, scurry up the stairs, hopefully not to get stabbed or worse,
sure.
on the way to the booth. I'd get in the booth, I'd close the door and hope that no other people in the balcony, because there weren't any seats.
So
there.
Why would anyone come up there?
Let me explain something about 1970s movie theaters on
what
Times
era
Square.
Mayor is this?
I don't know.
It's fine.
I don't know who's mayor. But anyway,
but we're talking about Warriors era.
40 years
New York
ago,
City,
we're talking
right?
40
it's like
years.
The Warriors.
Yeah, it is the Warriors.
Okay,
absolutely. It's not like it. Is.
People dressed as baseball.
Yeah,
gangs.
So. People did not say, I'm going to catch the 11:15 show.
Okay.
People would just go in at any time and leave at any time.
Really?
They go into the middle of the movie, stay maybe to the part.
And they do like go from movie to movie.
Yeah.
Sure.
Wait.
No, there's no movie to movie. There's only one screen.
Wait a minute. Why would you do that?
Because it was just a thing. And they didn't sit in the seat
and
watch the movie. They're moving around.
Really?
It's like a churning of activity.
It was like a crack den.
Yeah.
I think this is exclusive to your theater in Times Square, though.
No.
I mean, it must have been a big theater if it's in Times Square.
It's a big theater, yeah.
Yeah.
Easily 1,000 seats.
Holy moly. Okay.
This is not the days of multiples.
Sure.
So, so anyway, bad people, anybody that was in the balcony where there weren't any seats, they're bad people.
Oh, they were looking
they
to
were
do
worse
something.
They were worse than
drugs.
People who took out their phone.
They're doing the nasty drugs.
Because there was no, they figured that no one was there with them.
They were there to do no good.
Because they weren't to be seen.
Like go poopy
they were
in
there,
the seat? Or?
They,
what? Like go poopy in the seat? Or?
There was no
they
seats.
Were, they were peeing, shitting,
really?
Puking, screwing.
Oh.
So you're
getting
let me paint this picture. You are or blowing.
Or blowing.
Yeah.
Blower.
Jeff is on the floor.
It's just the way he's like shitting, pissing. Getting blown.
Let me paint this picture.
Wait, that was the worst part?
It's just like
I thought the shitting was the worst part.
No, shitting is empirically worse than the blowing. But
let me paint this picture. Steve is in this like metal box tank.
Terrified.
Like a World War II tank.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a tank. It was micrometers.
Sure, but effectively you were in like a little bunker, right?
Well, protect too strong a word.
It was like you were filming Planet Earth and you had to hide in the hide and like hope that no one saw
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Even though clearly someone
clearly
was running
was
the
there,
theater.
I was there, right, yeah.
Running the
well,
movie.
I don't think they were really aware that that was the booth. But anyway, and they're getting stabbed, choking, and the best
Why was it like, I'm going to go to the theater and kill someone?
Well, they didn't go there with that intention. It just happens.
Oh,
what was the most frequent inciting incident for like a fight or a stabbing?
I wasn't among them.
Could you hear, blow by blow. Hey, like someone was like, hey, you know,
you
be quiet.
My girlfriend.
Okay. Okay. Sure. So you never like listened in on the police report after? We were like, oh, what the hell happened here, officer?
The police report.
There's no police report. So who? Someone's got to take
no
the bodies
law.
Out.
There was no law.
Man, New York in the 70s,
It was wild. And then, you know, the worst thing was that I'm in there and they'd be out there doing their business, so
right.
to speak.
The blowing.
And then they would be throwing each other against the wall,
the
sheet
the
metal.
What
the
hell?
Bam!
Against
bam.
Where you were.
Yeah, where I was. I was, you know, huddled.
Yeah, you're oh my God.
In the fetal position on the inside and they're out there doing all this stuff.
And you're like, oh I'm not God. Getting paid enough for this shit.
By the way, the other little joy about working in this theater at that time was that there was no bathroom in the booth.
So you had to go out there and next to them.
Well, yeah, right. It was right there.
I had a bottle.
Oh Jesus.
And
you think
serious?
Anyone?
I am 1,000% serious. Oh,
that's 10 times more than what you can be. Wow.
Yeah.
So no, okay. So
terrifying.
people got stabbed frequently. People died frequently.
Yeah, for various reasons.
Does it usually only come to light once the lights come up?
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, there's a dead guy.
There's a guy over there. Yeah.
And oh my God. And then so cops come.
The cops come
eventually.
Yeah. No. Wait. One night.
Murder at the
in
Lyric
the middle of the
again.
Movie. Not yeah. that it mattered, but it was the movie was on the screen.
Godfather.
The manager buzzes me and says, bring up the house lights.
And there's a horse head in the seat.
No. Worse.
Oh, no.
He says, bring up the lights.
Yeah.
A minute later, there's like 30 cops in full
riot gear
with the helmets and the shields.
What?
And they just had clubs and they were beating the crap out of this part of the moving menagerie down there in the
oh, my God.
And you have no idea what that was about?
I had no idea. No.
Were you like, weren't you
but
like,
this was
oh,
just like sort of, oh, it's
that
like,
must have been
another
like
day
assault on a police officer. That seems like the reaction you would get or like something like that.
Another night in the
what
America.
The freak, man?
It
that
was,
is
it
crazy.
It was extreme. Oh, by the way, on a more milder note,
yeah,
one
please,
night I arrived. So these theaters in that point, they would open really early in the morning, like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Like first screening was 9 a.m.?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then they would close at like 3 o'clock.
Okay.
So sometimes you'd work a double, but usually I'd, you know, come in for the closing shift or the opening shift. So one night I arrived for the closing shift.
Yeah.
And I'm going up all these stairs to get to the booth,
yeah.
you know. And I had to open doors and get to this next level and stuff. Because it's really high. It must have been like
sure.
at least, well, including the projectionist balcony, 4 balconies. Because it was really like an opera house. It was
yeah.
probably a really beautiful theater 50 or 60 years earlier.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going up the stairs, going through these metal doors and shit. And I open the door. And there is this giant rat.
Oh, cool.
Unbelievable.
Like how big?
Like this,
cat,
the body was
size?
Like this
so
big.
A
yeah.
foot, a foot long.
Yeah. And
dead?
No, I wasn't
just,
dead.
He was feasting
no, he had,
on
no, he had a
poop.
Bucket of popcorn. He's waiting for Dog yeah. Day Afternoon to
I feel
come
like
on.
That's got to happen all the time, though.
Well, it happened that one time.
Really? Yes. You never ran into rats so, otherwise?
Well, no, not blocking
Mondo.
My path.
Yeah. Not the rodent of your usual size.
Not
you know,
buying,
and the weird thing yeah. was that this rat was not like scurrying away
yeah,
when I opened the door.
Big. He's like, I can take this
yeah.
guy.
And he could.
Yeah.
Absolutely, right? So it's like, I'm not going past that rat.
He's like, what are you looking at?
Exactly.
Yeah.
In that voice, exactly. You're making me nervous because you're so
what
perfect.
Are you looking at,
you
John
sounded
Lennon?
Exactly like that. Okay? So I close this door. I go down like, you know, 4 or 5 flights of stairs, go to the other side of the theater
yeah.
to go up the other, because it's like at either side.
But the whole time your hands are like frantically flailing over your head. You're like, ah!
Yeah, I'm not crazy about mice, much
less
rats.
I don't even know like, what you would do in that scenario, because it's like no one in the theater is going to help you deal with that.
No
right.
one could like sweep it up or maybe
sweep it up.
The, sweep it up.
One, maybe one of the
maybe
one of the customers could just, I don't know, cut its head off because they got like
you know,
a machete in their
why
pocket.
Why didn't make that connection? Could yeah. I ask somebody in the audience
hey,
to take
can you take the gun you have on you and
yeah, just stab this thing or hit it with a pipe?
Shoot this.
I feel like you would become a mascot for the theater. Maybe that
I would be
right. Well, yeah. no, the rat would.
Oh, the yeah. rat. You know, it would have been actually yeah. fitting mascot,
or like at least hire him as an usher.
Right. Well, some of those ushers. But here's the thing. So in another theater,
yeah,
actually a few years before that, I'm working in this theater, and this first that theater was a hellhole. Everything about that theater was terrifying.
Sounded pretty bad.
Right?
Yeah,
terrifying. Sure. Everything
taste.
About that theater was.
I can't
really
believe it's the first time he's telling us about death
murder.
In the theater.
So in this other theater, and it was a year or so before that.
Yeah,
was super tight, really well run.
Where was this?
Also on 42nd.
Okay.
I tended to work on 42nd Street because nobody wanted to work there. Yeah, between 7th and 8th.
Sure. Okay.
Actually, it's a theater next to where The Lion King is.
Okay. Oh, right on. Okay. Was.
Sure. So anyway, one day a bunch of kids come in as a gang.
Okay.
Right? They come in and they go over to the concession.
Are they snapping like West Side Story style?
No.
Okay. No snapping.
No choreographed. They were there for business.
Okay. Mm.
And they go to the concession stand and they just start reaching over the glass and grabbing like candy bars and things and stuff. And the manager of this theater was this ex-Marine.
Oh, oh boy.
This guy, he wasn't tall, but he was like really like a...
Stocky,
muscular with a crew cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's seen some shit.
He killed people, right?
Yeah.
So he goes over to them and he's like, put it back. Like, or else I'm going to, strangle
or else I'm going to do it.
How many kids are we talking about?
10 or 12.
Okay. Holy shit. Okay.
So the thing was, this theater, like most of those theaters at that point, had lots of ushers. Like 15, 20 ushers.
So somebody, what were they doing?
Well, it's
just
sort
for
of like
in
no, not for cleaning, for sort of policing.
Okay.
Yeah,
like keeping it a little under control.
Okay.
Right.
So anyway, somebody gets the ushers. So now the ushers all come out of the theater
in their riot gear.
No, and they and they circle the gang.
Yeah,
right, and so they start snapping.
Right.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, the manager is in the middle of this saying, get the heck out of my theater.
Yeah, I'm sure he said heck. Yeah.
Heck. Yeah. And they're like closing in on him. And then the ushers are ringing the gang.
Oh, so this is like a bullseye, like an archery dartboard thing here. Yeah.
Sure.
But then it just dispersed.
That's gave the candy back?
Yeah.
Wow. What?
They did, because this guy was
I thought this was going to end in bloodshed.
No. It just ended.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they got it that this guy was terrifying, the manager.
Huh.
And then there was all these ushers that were ready to do their due diligence.
Mm.
So it just
avoidance ended. Of violence. That's amazing.
And this happened like an hour before I got there.
Wow. Huh.
And one night some kids came in, knew that he was the manager, grabbed him, put a gun to him and said, take us to the office where all the money is.
Because
there weren't any credit cards, and it was
sure
all
can.
Cash.
He's like, you don't know who you're messing with.
No. Even then, he knew, right? He said, if I go into the office with somebody with a gun pointing to my head, this isn't going to end well.
Yeah.
For the gun.
For him. Yeah.
Sure.
So he just broke loose and ran out of the theater onto Times Square.
I can't believe
So the guy with the gun
The guy
still
with
there?
The gun is just standing.
He's like,
I guess that's one strategy.
He just starts whistling and gets out of there.
Yeah.
That's dark. Please compile all of these into
a
book.
These are in my book.
They are in the book. Okay.
They are in the book.
We'll talk about the book another time. Let's do something else.
Okay.
We wanted to get to your Night After Night story, right? Because, here's the deal. So Steve, about 20 years or so, was on more than that.
More than that.
25 years ago, let's say. When Comedy Central first got on the scene, there was a TV show called Night After Night, hosted by...
Alan Havey.
Alan Havey.
Stand-up comic.
Okay.
The gimmick to the show is that it was an audience of one, right?
Right. It was before there was a Daily Show.
Right. Pre-Daily Show era.
And it was done in a very small studio.
Mm.
And instead of having room for an audience, they had one chair set up. And they would, at the end of each night, they would say, if you want to be an audience of one member, send in a postcard and we'll pick somebody.
It's a terrible idea.
It was a great idea.
Maybe for 1991, it was cool.
It was a great idea, actually.
Okay, but the nature, it was comedy, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
The nature of comedy is there's like a crowd mentality.
But they did, though? They had they did like the talk soup thing where like the producers and the crew left.
The whole crew left.
That's right. I get it. Right. Okay. Right. Sorry, continue.
So the thing that was I was a huge fan of this show.
Yeah.
And the thing that amazed
me
about
it. How
long
was it on for?
2 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the thing, it felt like watching radio.
Yeah.
There was no script. They just made stuff up. It was kind of like
Then they would have like a celebrity guest.
And they would have an interview with a celebrity guest, right?
Yeah. The first segment.
The first segment was the interaction with the audience of one.
Yeah.
Which was me. Mm. And sometimes, the audience of one wasn't all that interesting or funny or anything, and they cut it short and they filled something else with that time.
How long was your segment?
How long?
It was almost 20 minutes.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. So here's the deal. So Steve.
Now everyone can see it.
Yeah. Steve gave it to me last week or the week before, and I put it up on YouTube.
Oh, amazing.
Probably broke some sort of copyright law, but whatever.
I think it'll be fine.
I think that's been done.
So I want to. We'll link to it in the show notes today.
Yeah.
You can also just go on YouTube and search Steve Guttenberg Night After Night, and you'll find it.
Right. There's another one with Henry Rollins. There's a Henry Rollins one.
What? As the crowd? Wait.
As the crowd.
No, as a guest, but it's really it's good.
Okay. I love Henry Rollins.
Yeah. So go check that out. That's what you wanted to bring up, right?
Yeah, that people could
see. That's very cool.
But anyway, I just want to explain that the coolest thing about the show is that they would do a segment, and then at the end of the segment, they started doing it at 4 o'clock. The show's going to air at 11.
Yeah.
They'd say, this isn't working. They would just stop and do something completely different.
That's cool.
There was no teleprompter.
Yeah.
And the host, that particular night...
He was pretty good.
He was very hyper. He wasn't always like that.
Maybe he did a bunch of cocaine coffee.
No, I don't think so. He just, you know... That wasn't the original opening. So, like, he was trying to get something
It's
going.
Also a fun kind... Because the commercials are in it, too.
Right, right.
So it's like a nice little time capsule.
What year is this again?
I think it's 92.
Early 90s. 92, okay. Yeah.
Like the Duracell bunny and...
Yeah. And then it was all, like, Ovaltine.
Yeah.
No, And you could go, and when you watch it, you see like the old Comedy Central like voiceover guy and the old logo.
It's Penn Jillette.
It was Penn Jillette.
Penn Jillette, right. Yep. Where did you get that? Where did that come from?
He had it on a DVD.
I had it on.
So it went from VHS to DVD my computer.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, so anyway, I just wanted to, the thing that I did was just react, because before they started saying, I said, I can just do what I want. Right? Mm. And he said, absolutely. You can interrupt me. You can interrupt the guests. You can do anything you want. And I said, really? And he says, yeah, because if we don't like it, we'll just stop and do something else. So he's like, do what you want. So I just sort of riffed off of what he was doing and just made shit, kind of like talking now. I just made stuff up.
And they liked it.
And they really liked
it. Yeah. Because it can go either way there. Where, like,
of course.
Someone that doesn't have a sense of humor keeps interrupting and they think.
Well, then they'd say, stop doing that.
Sure.
Yeah, they're rolling the dice. But it worked out with Steve.
That's awesome.
Yeah, go check it out. We'll link to that in the show notes. We're going to take one more break and we will finish things up with Sphere right after this. We're also sponsored by Videoblocks today. They are a subscription-based stock media company that gives you unlimited access to premium stock footage that everyone can afford. You need good B-roll? Guess what? Videoblocks, they're your people. Great value with all the unlimited downloads you have. That's kind of great. You don't have to pay per download. There's an unlimited all-you-can-eat. There's a library also of 115,000 HD video clips, After Effects templates, motion backgrounds, and cinemagraphs. Audioblocks has 130,000 plus library of music tracks, sound effects, and loops. Everything you're going to need to make your production A-plus quality. Everything's royalty free. You don't have to worry about licensing and stuff like that. And right now, Videoblocks is offering 404 listeners a year subscription to both Videoblocks and Audioblocks for just $149. And if you think that's cheap, it is. It's $100 off the regular price. Get your yearly subscription today for only $150. Please go to videoblocks.com/404-2016. That's videoblocks.com/404-2016. All right, welcome back to the show. Steve, during the break, we're like, hey, Steve, we're going to do your list now. And he's like, oh, I have to decode it and decipher it.
Let me see if I can decipher any of this.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
This is fascinating.
And we're going to take a photo of it for the show notes
as well. Because it's really crazy.
It's insane.
Okay, so it looks like top, it says HP of the year. That's probably headphones of the
year? Yes.
Okay, very good.
You abbreviate headphones HP? That's weird, man.
Okay, there's something about JFK in here, which makes me very worried.
Oh, shit.
Live murder on television. It's
fantastic. Not the only one, but yes. Well, I guess there was a live suicide.
The first one.
Yeah.
Wait, but don't...
Oh, is this spoilers?
Yeah, do you want to like...
I guess I'm doing a better job than I expected I would be doing.
All right, keep going.
Okay, we've got some Night After Night mentioned there.
All right, we got that.
Something about the Sennheiser store.
Shina Dev Tatabeth?
This is Shinola.
Shinola.
Okay, sure.
You'll never get this
one
because I didn't.
What is that?
Devalier,
sure. And K2ATE. And something about wax. It requires like levels of like decoding that my brain is like only.
See if this fell into the wrong hands. You know,
that's smart. No one would ever know. You need a cryptex.
They would say, "Oh, some child." Right.
So can we pick something?
I want to talk. Well, yeah.
Pick something. Pick a winner.
Shinola. What do you got to talk about with that company?
So you know, there's this company called Shinola.
Yeah, based that's in Detroit.
Isn't that like the hair pomade company?
No.
Shinola
is based in Detroit.
They are based in Detroit. They make watches and notebooks.
They make watches, bicycles.
Okay.
They have like
handbags.
A stationery line too.
I'm not aware of that part.
Yeah.
Right.
But anyway, there's this whole thing about making stuff in America.
Right.
Yeah.
So
and they do, right?
And they do.
It's all in Detroit.
They really do make it there. Well, they don't make all of it in Detroit. But anyway, so a guy who was from a high-end headphone company called Audacy, he left Audacy, wanted to join Shinola and said...
Wasn't Audacy, didn't they make like PC sound cards?
No.
Nope, never mind.
Anyway, so it's Audezy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, okay.
And so he left Audacy, joined Shinola and said, I want to help you guys make audio stuff.
Okay.
So instead of starting with the obvious, like headphones, he somehow got into his head. He wanted to make a turntable.
Okay.
Which is a really hard thing to make.
This was at Shinola.
For Shinola.
So and that sort of fits brand, because the brand is like old-timey stuff, right?
Yeah. It has like, a retro feel.
They
definitely.
Have like a retro, like AC/DC kind of like alternating current.
Yeah, not the band.
Kind of like a steampunk.
Yeah, for sure. It's there. Thing, right? Well, look at this guy.
Early 90s. So,
this guy dropping steampunk.
You think I'm too old for that?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay. Anyway, so he tells me he's going to do this thing, and I go to, they have a store in New York on Franklin Street. I go to the store. And it's a relatively big store loaded with handbags and backpacks and watches and bicycles. Mm. It's like, this is a weird mix. Bicycles, watches, handbags.
Yeah, it's like a hipster store.
And a turntable, like a hipster store, right? So
yeah, but you know what? Like the fourth thing in that like category
doesn't
is
fit.
Turntables.
Right.
Like, but that fits perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, does it?
Yeah, I think for hipsters it does.
I think for their thing, yeah.
Okay. So the thing, this is my blog for tomorrow, is like, I'm talking to the people that work there. They're 1,000% clueless. They don't know anything about audio.
Okay.
And then it hit me that's the idea, that people, normal people, find audio stores intimidating.
Sure.
So what if you had a store that sold expensive audio? The turntable is $2,500.
Oh, what?
By people who don't know anything about the thing that they're
and
attempting
money
to
burn,
sell.
I guess.
Right.
I
mean, there's a lot of affluent.
Yeah,
And I feel like that's...
New York City.
I think like Apple is kind of in that same vein, right? Like, I don't think there are audio experts in Apple stores, but they sell very expensive audio equipment.
Right. Well, they actually sell this
and
thing
very expensive laptops that shouldn't be priced what they are.
Oh, well.
Oh, Jeffrey.
I'm just saying, like, there is a sort of, you know, magic camouflage that
you're paying
some
for
products
the build
have.
Design and the brand and all that stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Absolutely. So anyway, I think it struck me as kind of weird because it's coming from a weird direction, like selling something like a turntable, which needs some handling and care and setup and stuff by people who have no clue whatsoever.
That is weird.
But then I thought, this could work. So then this other company, Devalier, which is a French company, they make a $2,000 and a $3,000 Bluetooth speaker, this blobby looking
that
thing.
Is just,
that's
come
crazy
on.
Like you're going to spend
And I go to their store, and they're even more clueless. Like they're selling this stuff. But here's the thing. How do they demonstrate that? They take their phone out. They go like this. They swipe their phone. They play stuff.
Spotify.
And then it's like,
yeah, but what else would you do?
You would need a direct, theoretically, to perform, like to show off the power of a $2,000 speaker, you'd plug in.
Or
directly,
three. Yeah.
Or three.
And that's for one, by the way.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, so there's this new thing happening about selling very expensive audio.
Yeah.
By people who know nothing about it.
Yeah, but that's all.
To
that's
people who know
like
nothing
that.
About it. No, not like that. Because usually that was in an audio store. These are basically not audio stores.
I understand.
They sell expensive audio.
But like, remember Nobody Beats the Wiz? Remember that store?
Yes, I remember.
That was an East Coast Best Buy for all intents and purposes. And they did that too.
Yeah.
Although I would venture to bet
they had
that
audio people.
They had audio.
Right.
I knew
say,
people
I
that worked
those
there.
People.
They actually knew stuff.
Yeah, they knew some more stuff.
So,
yeah.
But it would I think.
So
this,
we were talking about facts don't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Well, knowledge doesn't matter when you're selling expensive things anymore.
I think what this falls into is there's a category of luxury goods
exactly
where people just want
throw
like,
money at the best
like,
thing.
I have so much money. Like my wife works at Christie's Auction House.
Oh, okay.
The stuff
well, there
that
you
they
go.
Sell at Christie's Auction House is. Very expensive.
Give me an example.
There's a great example, actually.
Yeah.
They sold these wine coolers that were designed
Wait, I think wine coolers?
Yeah, like you would put a bottle of wine in this thing and put ice in it and cool it. But it was in the shape of, I think...
A wine bottle.
No, of terriers. And you take
dogs?
Dogs. And you take the head off and you put the wine bottle in. It was pure silver. I think Joan Rivers owned it. But they sold for like $150,000. And
each.
I think it was for the pair, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, no.
But that's the point. Is like right. There's that a level. The point. You get to this point where money ceases, at least that level of money ceases to mean anything. So you just want to buy things that are either A, easy, like turn, switch, that look nice in your apartment.
Right.
And you don't care if they sound good, but they look nice. And
it's remember, just, like, the people that buy a $150,000 wine cooler, this is not an extravagant purchase.
For No, absolutely not.
The couch that they're sitting on, the rug on the floor, and the art on the wall is way more expensive.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's not like, oh my God, it's $150,000.
No, of course not.
So you just your brain needs to work in a different way.
Yeah.
And like when we talk about the 1% of the 1%, like that's who we're talking about.
Oh, okay. But now, segue.
Yeah.
What about the shoes?
Yeah, so Steve...
We brought up this thing before.
So Steve stumbled upon a pop-up sneaker store.
Yeah.
Was it a certain brand? What was it called?
I didn't have any name.
Where? Actually. Oh, okay. So where was it?
It was on Broadway, like 6th Street, I would say.
Okay.
Okay.
So anyway, it was huge store. Well, you know, huge by New York standards kind of store. And it was filled with people. It was a very crowded store.
Yeah.
And people were lining up. And so anyway, I don't know anything about this stuff. So I go to the wall, and the wall... The entire length of the store had to be like 70, 80 feet head shoes.
Sure.
So I pick one shoe up off the wall, look at it. It's $500.
Yeah.
Just for the one.
Well, just for one, right. I pick up another one. It's $300. I pick up another one. It's $600.
Yeah.
I never saw a shoe there that was less than $300.
Sure.
And people are buying not one pair, two pairs. Well, and now you're telling me that they don't even wear them. So yes, $150,000. Why? It's extravagant.
Yeah.
But I think normal, non-1% people buying $600 sneakers they don't intend to wear
100%.
Is even weirder.
And that's a different
because they're not rich people.
Right. We're not talking about the same category.
Right. We're talking about different.
Wait, because the person that buys the $600 sneakers, that is a big purchase for them.
100%.
That is a significant amount of money.
But there are also rich people buying and collecting sneakers also.
I'm sure they are.
But they do it without blinking an eye.
It's a more casual thing, though. Like sneaker collecting is a pretty mainstream thing. It's not this like underground movement.
No, I wouldn't call it necessarily mainstream, but I agree
It lies in between underground and mainstream. I mean,
I think it's in the category of like collecting like records.
Yeah, like, I mean, like people collect records, right? People, comic books, action
people
figures and stuff.
Everything.
Like, for sure. So,
and I would also say it's a weird hybrid of that and also the hybrid of like how much people are willing to pay for brand fashion.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when you talk about like Yeezys, which is like, I believe that's Kanye West's brand of whatever shoes that are like become this status symbol that you might not like. Essentially, you're wearing it so that people can know that you can afford it.
Okay.
So that you might only bring it out at like an occasion where you're trying to
weddings,
hit on
bar mitzvahs,
whatever.
Like that,
So
it's bar mitzvah. I'm going to wear my Yeezys tonight.
I'm not saying that people should obviously spend the money that they do not have on these things.
Exactly.
But this falls into the same category of like, you know, you spend whatever, $900 on Manolo Blahnik shoes. I think it's the same category.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
Well, I take it personal.
So that was the thing.
I'm personally offended.
Well, you take it personally because you're like, well, you're spending $600 on shoes that you won't wear. Why can't you buy a nice set of speakers?
Exactly. Right. That you will get.
But priorities are different.
Possibly
for people.
decades of pleasure.
But this is a drum you've been banging for years. Like,
but this is a new example.
And you're never going to be wrong.
Right. Well, but
Metro card gets me on the subway.
Here's what I'm going to say is actually the joy that you get out of a good pair of speakers is actually a negative because in all of the scenarios we are unable to use those speakers. Let's say you're on the subway and you need to use headphones and then you need expensive headphones and you become an audiophile like you and you're crazy.
Oh no.
And then
nothing's ever good enough.
You can't listen to Bluetooth.
Right.
You can't listen to Spotify. You can't listen to streaming services.
It has only,
everything's
you've
miserable.
Revealed
it
me.
Is
you've
only
uncovered
until
my...
somebody lowers their tolerance for shitty music. Do they really become happy?
Ignorance is bliss. I'm 100% believing in that. I think you pick your battles in terms of what you care about, things are like opening yourself up to unhappiness.
What is your greatest indulgence?
I mean,
What have you spent crazy money on?
I think, if anything, just time.
Hardcore drugs.
Time is video games, without a doubt. Like the amount
that's a time indulgence.
That's a huge time indulgence.
Time is time is money.
But, sure. But yes, that's a perfect example.
But I wouldn't.
To outsiders could say, how ridiculous, how silly.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I fully acknowledge that it's silly. Mm-hmm. And I fully acknowledge, and it ruins certain games for me that other people are like, oh, that was fun. It was just like a silly and fun thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it ruins for me because I'm so in it.
You're invested.
That I know when things work and when things don't work. You know, like when I saw Star Wars last night, there were moments, because I've been doing a lot of video editing lately, and there are moments in that movie that just like, I don't think the editing was very good, and it lingered in like certain scenes where it shouldn't have lingered, and it jumps out to me, and it hinders.
You would have tightened it up a little bit.
It hinders the
frame
experience.
Yeah.
But I would also say, in the way that you can experience amazing speakers, when it lands, which I think is less frequent for me than it is normally, but like when it lands so well.
Right.
And you're so
your
impressed.
Appreciation
like when I go
is,
and see a Coen Brothers movie, I'm like, holy cow, everything is working in this movie. It doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it does.
Yeah, you know, when I see a great movie or see art or something, it energizes
me. Sure.
But the opposite is when I see something that's real crap,
I
know.
It deflates me. It like, weakens
I love
me
that,
by doing
like,
it.
Even at this point in your life, you're still, like, beat up about it. You know, you still have this internal conflict about
it. Yeah.
That's fine. That's great. It's what makes you human. You know?
Well, thank you.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
We only have a few minutes left.
Should we plug his headphone of the year?
Yeah.
Like
we got about six or so minutes.
Oh, wait. I just want to mention, just before I entered this room, David Carnoy, CNET's David Carnoy, played for me my very first experience listening to the wonderful wireless EarPods.
Oh, EarPods. AirPods?
AirPods.
I thought they weren't out yet.
No, they're out.
Well, maybe this is an event.
No, so they, you can buy them online now, and they're coming to the store, the Apple store next week.
Yeah, but.
So they're called AirPods. I've called them EarPods.
$150
It's bullshit.
What pieces of crap. So, yes.
Wait.
Here's the thing
I want you to spend 60 seconds ripping on this. Go.
Here's the thing about Bluetooth headphones. Pay more for shittier sound. It's really as simple as that.
Yeah.
These $150 headphones sound like $10 headphones.
Say they sound like garbage.
They sound like shit.
Yeah. F Apple.
You know, and then I'm like, I'm trying to make them sound better by moving them in my ear to get a little more bass out of them or something. They seal their ear, but they don't seal.
And they look stupid.
And guess what happens? They cut out. Like any little movement, they're out. He's got to like resync them and stuff. What? An awful product.
You know what else?
What hideous.
You know what else?
Garbage.
They look dumb.
And they look really stupid.
Stupid.
And you got to put them with them angled a certain way. Oh, man. What
so
an awful
are,
product,
dude. I think
man.
They are. I think they're some of the worst. They are one of the worst products that company's ever made.
Right.
I agree.
Have you used the
Newton? Thought about it for a while.
By the way, these headphones.
Oh, that was the, was that the, no.
The drawing.
Yeah, it's like
head.
The cube. This is the cube all over again.
These headphones that are in the studio, Sennheiser HD202s.
Yeah.
These are about $24.
Yeah, they're.
These are nice headphones for $24.
For sure.
Yeah.
A thousand times better than those $150.
But again, I
dongles.
Think it falls into that
it does.
Status symbol. I don't.
Makes me angry.
Well, like my whole thing with those dumbass earbuds is like, you're going to lose them.
Yeah.
They're going to fall out.
Right.
Like, they don't look like they're secure at all. I put one in my ear and I was like, I don't trust this.
The biggest issue that I have with them, because I'm not really an audiophile, so the sound quality wouldn't necessarily jump out to me.
I think if you went back and forth.
Yeah, I probably
or
would.
You know what? Put one in one ear and put another
the
in
the biggest issue that
out.
I have.
I think you actually have to have both for them to work.
Let's say
you would freak out.
Here's a use
out.
Case for you. Let's say you're on the subway or you're whatever, and you're listening to music and your phone is in your pocket and you want to pause the song that you're listening to because a train is going by and you can't hear it. You need to say, Siri, pause that or something to that effect because there are no hard controls on the headphones.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to pause it is either pull out your phone or talk to Siri. And I'm telling you, I am not going to talk to
no
Siri
in the
subway.
No one's talking to that. No.
Siri sucks.
I don't.
That takes way too much. She's so stupid. You got to keep explaining things to her, say it over and over
again. I don't like digital voice assistants.
So we've talked.
I mean,
Echo is pretty good, actually. I like the Echo. Amazon. So what do you like, though? I want to hear
so
about
I have an alternative.
Okay, what's that?
So there is this company. I never heard of them, but a little bird told me about this
Bose.
Thing called
Bose. Called
well,
Sony.
Actually, no, called it. I don't even know what the company's called, but if you search on Amazon for A8ATE, it's a $13 in-ear headphone that sounds really, really nice.
For the letter A?
A is in Apple.
ATE.
Eight. A8.
And then the search
eight,
Amazon.
ATE.
All right. I just did a quick search. They're not showing up. Are you sure about this, bud?
No, I'm not sure. I might be missing
Mini gate. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you're missing something.
It's your crazy chicken scratch.
Yeah, I can't read
it. ATE, are you sure?
ATE.
Yeah, it's not coming.
Are you searching headphones? Are you searching?
Type headphones.
Headphones. It's not that bright.
Type HP and see if it comes up.
No?
No, Bang & Olufsen.
Bang & Olufsen. Yeah, it's not coming up. Well, sorry.
It's in my holiday buyer's guide.
Okay, on CNET?
Yeah.
All right, Jesus. All right, keep talking.
So anyway, these really nice sounding alternatives, like these Sennheisers and stuff. So, It's like one of the last ones.
So it's the audio one.
Well,
treat yourself. God, this is a website.
That's how you speak.
What?
Keep going.
It's in the Holiday Buyer's Guide.
Okay, I know. There's a lot of guides.
Not that one. It's the newest one.
Okay. This is great radio, guys.
Yeah,
anyway.
Sorry. Anyway, that's what editing is for.
What's so great about these headphones?
They're really, really, really cheap. Anybody could buy them, and they sound amazingly good. They're clear. They're, as the audiophiles say, transparent. They're wonderful headphones.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, there's this headphone in my... Tomorrow is my best headphones of the year, and there's one that Justin reviewed called the Final Audio Sonorous 3, which is a $400 headphone.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a $1,000 headphone. You're in the right one. Just keep going.
Okay.
it's amazing.
Okay.
So there we go. And what is it called?
K as in key, oh. Z as in zebra.
Oh, it's close.
You know, you said A8.
That's my,
KZ.
You might need another script on your glasses. Yeah, it might be time.
It might be time to bump that bad boy up.
Anyway, you can link
the KZ ATE headphones. They're $1,294.
See? Amazon Prime.
And you like them?
Price to move.
You like them?
I love them.
They look kind of bulky, cheap. No?
No, yeah. it's making them bigger. But no, they're not bulky.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean,
it's a very nice. It makes a nice sandwich.
It makes a nice sandwich, but I don't know how long these are gonna last you. Like, dude, come on.
They're $13 freaking.
I know. So like, you're gonna get a
week's
worth out
of them.
They're like
candy. You pop them out of your mouth, you eat another one.
Also, I'm a little disconcerted that they misspelled the word black.
Yeah, it's just
in that
says bulk at the end.
Bulk. Are they made in the Balkans?
Oh man, you want good spelling too?
I'm not gonna crap all over these KZ ATEs, but. Buyer
you're
beware.
A skeptic. $13.
$13
it's
bucks.
Real
you can't
money.
Really complain though.
You know, $600 sneakers. It's not an issue.
No, I understand.
$13 headphones. It's a problem.
Okay.
Hey,
I want to go back to my movie theater and watch people getting beat up and crapped on and stuff.
All right.
Because at least there, I felt like I knew.
I understand.
I knew where I was in the universe.
You know where you are. It's just a little more confusing now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
If you want to check out Steve's full holiday guide, go to CNET.com and you can click the little button on the top right for the holiday.
Is it in there?
Buyer's
it's
guide.
Actually in there?
It's in there.
It's in there.
All right, so make sure you check that out. Very good
stuff. Cheap stuff. Cheap stuff.
You have yourself a lovely holiday season. All right?
Yeah, you didn't say Hanukkah.
Well, I know you're Jewish. You do.
He said
Hanukkah?
Holiday season. It could be anything,
right?
Do you do a Hanukkah thing?
No,
no. So
bah humbug. What's the equivalent for Hanukkah?
Ugh.
Enough already.
Yeah,
we did 2 days. That's enough.
Can you reheat this? That's what bah humbug translates into.
So did I ever tell you the time that my mother put? Actually, didn't put, but there were ants in the matzo ball soup.
Oh,
Steve. You're gonna go ahead and
such small portions.
You're gonna
exactly.
go ahead. You're gonna
you're
go ahead and
up.
Ruin.
I
watched
the whole dinner. I was like 8 years old, and I had a toy microscope, and I'm eating the soup. And I said, "What is this in the soup? These little things." And my mother said, "Oh, it's parsley."
Yeah.
I said, "No, I don't think so." Oh so God. I go in and get the microscope. I put it on the table. There's all the entire family's there. I take some of the chicken soup. I put it on the slide. Look at the microscope. No, they're not. It's not parsley. It's ants. Oh look, they got little heads and little bodies and everything.
This whole episode has just been like images that you would show someone in Clockwork Orange to like drive them insane.
Oh my God, that theater would break anybody up.
Giant rat. people getting stabbed, ants in the monster.
We love you very much, Steve. Thanks for always doing this. Oh, thanks, man, for being
thank
here.
You,
we will see
it's
you in
nice
2017.
The year.
It is.
Is this a kicking off right
now? No, this is the kicking. The end of the kicking.
The end of the kicking.
Yeah.
No more kicking.
We're kicking 2016 in the nutties because Jesus.
It's a bad year.
Oof. I know, it's, like, I know it's cliche to say it, but 2016 can go F itself.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right in the face.
Totes.
So yeah. Russ and I are trying to figure out this holiday season. I don't know what we tried to make some things work. Didn't pan out the way we kind of wanted.
Yeah.
With guests and with, you know, look, we're busy people. Russ doesn't even work here. It's not even he's not even supposed to be here. He does this as
a
favor. Oh, he's such a good guy.
I should have a pass.
You should. We'll get your pass in 2017.
Maybe.
Something to look forward to.
He's such a good guy for doing this.
What can I say?
Do you have groupies?
No.
He's got
never
polygonal groupies.
Oh, can I? I'll plug something.
Yeah.
Because that's really all I get from being on the show. And also, your lovely company.
Yeah, and the bagels.
So two things. One, my history of Super Mario Brothers 2 is up on YouTube.
Amazing.
So you should watch it.
You did that with
Justin
McElroy from
Podcasting Zone. Justin McElroy of
Bim
Bam.
From Bim Bam.
Adventure Zone, if you listen to those podcasts. You can just search Super Mario Brothers 2 History Polygon, and that'll definitely come up.
Is this the third one you guys have done?
This is the second. We did a History of Clue.
Clue, right.
And yeah, Super Mario 2, so if you're interested in that. And also, we just started a new series called Law Abiding Citizen, me and Justin. I am basically trying to obey the law in various video games. Like in the first episode, it was Grand Theft Auto 5. Justin is a demonic presence that convinces me to do otherwise.
Oh.
So.
And that's called Law Abiding Citizen.
That is called Law Abiding Citizen.
Awesome.
Also Googleable.
We will link that to the show notes. If you have never been to the show notes, you can do that. That's cnet.com/the404. Check out all Steve's stuff on CNET as well. And then follow him on Twitter at
Audiophiliac Man.
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 And then follow Russ on Twitter as well at Russ Frushtick. Again, it's going to be tough figuring out these holiday things. We might have to do a couple reruns. There's CES is right around the corner. So it might be a little bit till we get another new brand new show.
We will try our darndest.
Yeah. We'll tweet something out if and when something happens. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for being here with us this year. There's been ups, there's been downs, but it's always much brighter when we know everyone on the other side is having a good time. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. Happy holidays, happy new year, and all that junk. We'll see you when we see you.
Later.
Until then, have a good one. Thanks again to Vega Coffee for sponsoring the 404 show. Vega Coffee's got an exclusive holiday discount, 30% off site-wide for 404 listeners. Go to vegacoffee.com now. Enter the promo code the404showholiday at checkout. Get 30% off anything on the site. That's vegacoffee.com. And then enter the promo code the404showholiday. Big thanks to Vega Coffee.